this is April 23rd, and ego, the small self, is the topic this month.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of religious science to make us aware of that. That idea, that life, this thing that we call life, there is only one life, and that life is the life of God, and that life is in us and through us right here and right now. We do not want this idea of separation where I have a life, you have a life. There is only one life, and that life goes on forever. That life always was and always will be. Which I always think is the most marvelous thing when you think about life. Most people think that the opposite of life is death. Their life has no opposite. Life has no opposite. We have a thing called death. The body does that. But the life that you have continues. The life that you have always continues. So while we're here on this plane of action, using this life of God that's animating us, our purpose is to change our consciousness to see things differently without using this little ego mind, which we're going to talk about tonight, which is that petty part of us, that one that gets angry, the one that gets jealous, the one that does all that. That is your ego. The part that we are talking about, the spiritual part of your mind, never gets upset about anything. You cannot offend spirit. You can offend the ego, but you cannot offend spirit, because the spirit does not get upset the same way this thing called God never gets upset. It's an impossibility to upset God. It's an impossibility for you to get upset if you're using the different part of your mind. If you're able to see what your ego is doing to you, you can stop your reactions to things. And that's the other thing we're learning, to control our thinking, to control our minds. So, whole idea here on this plane of action is to learn to accept ourselves exactly the way we are, know that we are one with this thing called God, know that we are here to enjoy this experience, and to change our consciousness so that we see things differently. Many people think that when they die, things will be different. Things will not be different when you die. Death will not improve you. Death will not improve you. Many people think, oh, good, when I die, I'll have peace. If you don't have peace now, you're not going to have peace when you die. You have to find it now, because we're talking about the here and now. And here comes our people. Aha! He wouldn't wait. Are you there?
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Did you start already? Sorry.
That's all right. I love your coat.
Thank you.
I'm not upset because I'm using a different part of my mind. I'm not allowing the ego mind to say, oh, they're late, I'm going to be angry, mean, and upset. Only the ego gets upset. Only the ego tells you those things.
She held me up. She had something to do.
Oh, my goodness. Now we're going to blame, and that's the ego. That's the ego mind when we blame people. So that's what we're trying to discover. Everyone knows that you have an ego. And we have to discover what that ego is doing to us and how that ego is running your life. You may allow the ego to run your life if you want, but that's not a very pleasant life when you allow that. The little ego is there, and it's called the small self of you. And it gets hurt, it gets offended, It wants blame. It wants to compare. It wants to do all these things. When you see that happening, change your mind about that and say, that's just my ego mind. It has nothing to do with me whatsoever. And I'm not going to have a reaction to that. You see, then you can go through this life with peace. You can go through this life with peace. You don't need the turmoil and so forth. All suffering that anyone, when anyone is suffering, it's coming from the ego mind. You see, spirit does not suffer. Spirit does not suffer. Only the ego mind causes that. Because it thinks what's in front of it is very important. What's in front of you is not important at all. It's what's inside of you that is important. It's never the circumstances in your life that is causing you trouble. It is the small mind that is always causing you trouble. So, we want to say, oh, that's just my mind doing that to me, and I'm not going to allow that to happen. And you can slow that ego mind down. You can learn, you'll never get rid of it, but you can learn to control it so that you're not. It's just like a little kid. It throws tantrums all the time. It wants its own way, and it constantly wants you to think that it is you. It wants you to think that it is you. And by comparing and doing all those other little things, comparing and blaming and all, it builds an identity for itself. That's how it gets its identity. Take the ego food away from it, and it will do that. Do not feed your ego. Okay, with that said, that we know that this thing called God is working in as and through us, and that is what we are always talking about. If you don't like the word God, change it to anything you want, to intelligence, to wisdom, whatever you want. Now, one other little thing, I don't know, I point this out every once in a while, so I'll point it out again tonight. You know, in religious science, you do, for any of these principles to work, you do not have to believe in God. Would you read that and pass it on?
God is doing a great work in and through me now.
God is doing a great work in and through me now.
God is doing great work in and through me now.
God is doing a great work in through me now.
God is doing a great work in and through me now.
God is doing a great work in and through me now.
God is doing a great work in and through me now.
God is doing a great work in and through me now.
Yes, and God is doing a great work in and through me now. I don't know if you noticed, this card is very old. I found this again. It was an affirmation that I used for many years to get to the point, to the idea that there's only one mind, the mind of God, and I happen to be using that mind. There's only one life, the life of God, and that life is in me, as me, and through me. So when you realize those things, there is no separation, and this ego mind starts to loosen its grip on you. It loosens its grip. The world teaches ego. The world is all about ego, and it's always going to be about ego because it wants to compare all the time. You cannot compare. If you're comparing anything, it's the ego mind that's comparing. That person's better than I am. They have more money than I do. This is going more. This is this. They blah, 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 blah. This thing called God does not show favorites. And if you remember in the Bible, it says it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. Exactly the same. That's why when you look out there and you say, why? He's such a mean, hateful person. Why does he get all that stuff? Because goodness has nothing to do with it. What has to do with is letting yourself open for this thing to come through you. Now, I said earlier, you can use these principles, any of these principles, without believing in God. It helps to believe in God. But God will keep on working whether you believe in it or not. See, God will keep right on working. And what is God? God is the law of cause and effect. you see. So you have to realize there's something scientific going on. There's something else going on here. And what is going on is what we call the law of mind. And we want to figure out what the law of mind is. Well, what is the law of mind? What I think about, I bring about. It's done with thinking. Another thing that we use all the time in religious science is the idea, change your mind, change your life. And people spout that off all the time, and it's a very easy thing to spout off. And it's a very easy thing to change your mind. The difficulty is in keeping it changed. There's where the difficulty comes in. But I would like to point out that what we are really changing when we say change our mind, what we are really changing is our beliefs, our viewpoints, our opinions, and our attitudes. They are manufactured by the mind, you see. So just using that little statement, change your mind, change your life. But if you change your belief, because we're all laboring under beliefs that we have held for many years. And when your life isn't working the way you think it should, you have to sit down and see what belief is running my life. And then you start to change that belief. If you believe in the ego mind, the little mind, that believes in the jealousy and the comparing and all that kind of stuff, the blaming and the hate and the guilt, all that, then that is a belief system that you are laboring under. So you have to sit down and change your belief system. I explained this many times, and I'll explain it one more time tonight. By the age of 5, we have been stuffed full of so many things because we're vacant. We're like a sponge. And by the age of 5, we come to all kinds of conclusions about ourselves, about the world, about the money that we're going to make. All that kind of stuff is done by the age of 5. We may not know that, but that is the way that happens. And we do that before we're physically, mentally, and emotionally mature enough to make decisions. So now those belief systems that you have are running your life, and your life is not working the way you want it to because you're belief system is antiquated. Your belief system is antiquated. It cannot take you to where you want to go. And this is the example that I use. If I gave you a map of Los Angeles that was 100 years old, would you be able to find your way around? You wouldn't. So the belief systems are like a map. And the map is too old for you to navigate anymore. So you have to change the map. You have to change your belief systems. So that's that whole idea when you hear change your mind. It means change your beliefs that are going on. And we change beliefs all the time. Change a belief to what you want. Last week, and I think I brought it with me tonight. Let me see. I'm almost sure I brought it. Because I loved it so much, and I thought, well, we'll just do that again. Well, maybe I told a lie. Anyway, it's the whole idea that you cannot change the external with first changing the inner life that's going on. And how do we do that? Or what's an example of when I say that? This teaching, this class, is called prosperity and abundance, including money. And we want to see that out there. But inwardly, we have a consciousness of lack and limitation. If you have if your consciousness and your belief is in lack and limitation, you will not see that on the outside of life, regardless of how many treatments you do, regardless of how many affirmations you do. You have to change that belief system. And here again, most of us are laboring under that because the world tells you that there's not enough to go around. We grew up in scarcity. We heard from our parents that money does not grow on trees. So, we start to think of lack and limitation. Do not do that. Sit down. Bring your belief systems up and see, oh, is that working for me? Or can I jettison that belief system and build a new belief system? And we do that constantly. From day one, remember, people for years lived with the idea that the world was flat. And everyone believed that. And that was a lie. In our own times, what have we learned and believed? Remember, we believed, oh, I did for years, that Pluto was a planet. Now Pluto's no longer a planet. Those are beliefs, and we live under those, and beliefs can change. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Beliefs are not written in concrete. You can change a belief, and you change it by recognizing it, and when the other thing comes into your mind, you get rid of it. When I grew up, was growing up, I would say to my father, can I have a new pair of shoes? And my father would say to me, do you have a pair of shoes? And I would say, yes, I do. And he would look at me and said, Dallas, you can only wear one pair at a time. You do not need a pair, another pair of shoes. That was a belief system that I labored with for years and years and years. How did I break that belief system? I've told you this story. Some of you may not have heard it. I was living in Atlanta, Georgia at the time, and I must have been in my 30s. And I went into, I don't know the name of the store now. And I saw a beautiful pair of alligator shoes. And I thought, well, I would like those alligator shoes. The price at the time was $550. I said to myself, oh my goodness. And I could hear my father saying, you can only wear one pair of shoes at a time. And who the hell do you think you are? And all the other things that we heard as children. So I stood there and I said, that's a belief system, and it doesn't have to be my belief system. I'm going to buy these shoes. I don't care how long it takes me to pay for them. I'm going to buy these shoes because it will build my prosperity consciousness and it will break that belief. So I said to the clerk, show me those in size 9. And then he said to me, do you have a store credit card? And I said, no. He said, well, how do you want to pay for these? And I said, well, what is your suggestion? And he said to me, why don't we put it on a large appliance thing and you only have to pay $25 a month? For years, I called them my refrigerators. That's absolutely true. I bought them. I paid them off. And I got rid of that belief system. Now, would I go out today and buy a pair of $550 shoes? Probably not. But I know I can. And I don't get nervous around money. And I don't get nervous around that type of thing. You're saying? You have to see what your mind is doing to you. You have to see what kind of a belief somebody else has put in there. And then break that belief. You're saying? That's how you get rid of it, and that's how you change your mind and change your belief, and that's all our life is about, is learning that, yes, we can do this if we want to do this. Do not let the mind talk you out of it. Remember Mary Baker Eddy said, argue with your mind like a lawyer before a judge, and you must always make sure that you win. You must always make sure that you win. Now, when I tell those stories and stuff, I don't want everyone rushing out and buying everything that they can get their hands on. That's another thing. You have to use wisdom with these things. You notice I didn't say then the next week I bought another pair of $500 shoes. I bought one pair of $550 shoes, and I paid them off before I decided to buy something else. Because you have to use wisdom with this whole thing also. You have to use wisdom. I no longer have those shoes. I often think about them. I put them in a consignment shop and sold them at one time. So, if you have that going on, if you have any type of a belief going on inside of you, bring it up, look at it, see where it came from, and decide to change it. Decide to change it. I told you the story when my sister-in-law came to visit me when I was living in Atlanta, and she had her two children with her, and they were small. I said to them, we were at Phipps Plaza, a beautiful shopping mall in Atlanta, and I said, let's go into Gucci's and look around. She said, oh no, we can't go into there. Oh, we don't go into stores like that. That's too rich for us. I grabbed those two children by the hand and I said, you stay out here, I'm taking these kids in. So that they knew that they could go in there. If she would, they would have, to this day, said, oh, we don't go in Gucci's, it's too expensive for us. She had a belief system that she picked up from her mother and father. So, see what those beliefs are going on inside of you and learn to change them. Your whole life is run by your mind. And it's run by the ego mind, and it's run by beliefs that you hold. That's what your whole life is about. What belief do you have about yourself? Do you always hold yourself in the highest of esteem? Do you know that you're one with this thing called God? See, do you know that you're whole and complete and perfect? Do you know those things about yourself? Somebody said to me, well, what do you actually do, Dallas? And I said, well, I teach people to love themselves. I teach people that they're worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. When we do these little things, that weakens the ego mind. The ego mind does not want you to know that you matter. It does not want you to know that you're worthy and deserving. The ego mind always wants to keep you in wanting something. It wants to keep you off balance at all times. It does not want you to find peace of mind, because then you would take its identity away. The ego mind always says you're not enough, you don't have enough, and you don't do enough. And you have to say to yourself, I am enough, I have enough, and I do enough. You see? You have to bring yourself to that belief. What else does the little ego mind do? If you come up with an idea, the ego mind doesn't say, oh, ha, ha, ha. Oh, that's a great idea, and here's 10 reasons why it's going to work. No, it says that's a horrible idea, and here's 10 reasons why it's not going to work. And then it gives you the 10 reasons why it will not work. See if that isn't try. Try that in your own thinking. Have you ever come up with an idea and your mind told you, oh, that's wonderful? No, I don't think so. And then the next thing you do, you go and ask somebody else, and they tell you why it's not going to work. Never go to anybody and ask them if you have an idea what they think of it. Because they're not going to tell you they think it's a great idea. They're going to come up with all their fears that their ego mind is telling them. keep whatever you want to yourself and work on it yourself. That's that whole idea of go into the closet yourself. Pray in secret for what you want. Every time you tell somebody what you want, the energy is drained from it. You see. Keep quiet till the demonstration is in front of you. You don't have to run around and tell people, this is what I'm treating for and this is what I want and blah, 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 blah. Because they're not going to add to it. They're going to take away from it. And that's what your ego mind does to you. It takes away. It does not give to you. So I hope that we all can understand this ego mind, because all the people that have passed through, not only this class, have passed through the world and all these brand name religions and so forth are out there, never talk about the ego, and they never talk about the mind itself. How many people have gone to church and they're all praying and they're asking God for this, that, and the other thing, and on the going out on the steps, somebody said, did you see what she was wearing? Now, wasn't that awful to go to church looking like that? Did you notice this, 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 and this? That's your ego mind. That's your ego mind doing that. Stay away from that type of person. And don't let your mind do that to you. We all have that tendency to do that. We just change it, you see. We just change that. Remember my little affirmation in the morning is, today I will judge nothing that occurs. And then some days I can make it clear to the kitchen before I start judging. See, someday I may be able to leave the house, you see. But I keep working on it. Judgment is the ego mind. Your spiritual mind, or this spirit that we call this life of God that's in us, does not judge anything. Remember, God sees all things as good. God doesn't compare. We do that. And we judge constantly. This isn't right, that isn't right, da-da-da-da-da-da. Everything is right. You have to know that. Everything is in divine right order. And the more you do that, and the more you're able to control your ego and so forth, you'll discover that your life unfolds in divine right order. Because there's something else going on besides that ego mind taking over all the time. The ego mind gets disappointed. Spirit never gets disappointed. Never gets disappointed. You see? Could you imagine God being disappointed? I'm sure years ago people thought that. That's why they thought, you know, God sent lightning bolts down and so forth, because God was displeased. God is never displeased. And he says God is certainly not displeased with anything that it has created. And it is never displeased with you, because you are the beloved in whom this thing is well pleased. You are the beloved in whom this thing is well pleased. Think about that, especially if you think that things aren't going well, or that people don't like you, or that you haven't found your mate, or this going on, well, all these little things. That's just your ego mind doing that. Sit yourself down and say, I am the beloved. I am loved. I am the beloved. And then things will start to happen, and things will come into your life. Things will come into your life. So it's just a different way of looking at things, a different perspective. But it's learning to become a witness to your thinking. And it's learning to see what the ego mind is doing to you. If you, most people allow the ego mind to run their life, People that argue, people that are always in tragedy and so forth, it's the ego mind that's doing that. It's the ego mind that's doing that. And you can live that. You can do that if you want. It's just not a pleasant way to go through life. This whole teaching is a teaching to teach you how to go through life differently. How to go through life differently than all the other people out there. You see? If you want to go through life the way everyone else does, join a brand name church. They'll certainly take you right down that road and tell you, yes, you can get angry, you can do this, you can do that, and you can complain on the church steps about this, that, and the other thing. We are not into complaining about things. Everything is perfect the way it is. Everything is perfect the way it is. What we have to remember is that we are the cause under our own experience. We are the cause under our own experience. If we don't like what we're experiencing, change the cause. Now, how do you change the cause when you say, you change your thinking about it. You change that belief that you have about it. And the whole thing will change. But we have to change inwardly in order for the outside world to change. And most people want to manipulate the outside of life. The world loves to manipulate the outside of life. You see? Governments love to do that. Where at the present moment, in all these little conflicts and wars and so forth, trying to say, well, if we kill enough people and if we do all this, that, and the other thing, democracy will happen. Well, democracy happens inside. It happens in your thinking. It doesn't happen with tanks and bombs and so forth. Does not happen with tanks and bombs and so forth. A person convinced against their will is of the same conviction still. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. You have to change your mind. You have to change your consciousness if you want the world to change. So all that fighting, all that stuff going on, is not going to work. And as I said, I think at the beginning of this thing, at the beginning of the month, I said I will not march for anything, and I will not wear bracelets up to my elbow in all different kinds of colors, saying this is for heart, this is for cancer, this is for this is for that, thinking that that's going to do one damn bit of good. It is not. You must change your mind about that and realize that there's no necessity for any of that stuff. There's no necessity for cancer. There's just no necessity for that stuff. We think there is at the belief system, so we keep bringing it back. We keep bringing it back. Why do we do that? Because we love to punish ourselves. If we can't punish ourselves in one way, we find some way to punish ourselves for something that we think we've done. I'm telling you, you have done nothing. You may have missed the mark. You may have made a mistake. But you only do that once. You don't carry it with you the rest of your life unless you're completely stupid. Unless you're completely stupid. Ignorance can be fixed. Stupidity is forever. Don't be stupid about these things. Learn to forgive yourself. Learn to forgive everybody else. And learn to use this wonderful thing that we call the mind, this wonderful thing that we call the consciousness. Last week, I think, I remember telling you this, and I have been using it all week, and it keeps coming back into my mind, and I just absolutely love it. And it is this. Live from your imagination, not your history. Live from your imagination, not your history. Most people live from their history. What does that mean? Well, my mama did this to me, my papa did that to me, the school teacher did this to me, this, that, and the other. That's history. That's a story you're telling yourself. Live from your imagination. Start right here and right now and say, here is the way I'm going to think of myself. Here is the way I'm going to imagine myself. And it doesn't matter where you came from on the other side of the tracks. It means nothing. Your history means nothing. Come from your imagination. Live from your imagination. The ego mind does not want you to do that. It wants you to live from all the little pettiness that's going on in that type of thinking. Now, most of the time, people in religious science and so forth, we recognize the ego mind and we don't stay around people. Once you're in this teaching and you go out in the world and you're around the people that are complaining and bitching and blaming and doing all that, that's the ego mind, and you don't feel comfortable in that anymore. You just don't feel comfortable being around those people, so you stay away from them. You see? Like minds always are attracted to each other. Like minds are always attracted to each other. That's that whole idea of birds of a feather flock together. Flock to people of like mind. Always be around somebody that wants to lift you up. That wants to lift you up, you see. If you're not, then it's the blind leading the blind, and you're both going to fall in the gutter. Be around people that inspire you. People that say nice things to you. That is how you lift yourself up. That is how you start to change your belief system about yourself. Say nice things to other people. Say nice things to yourself and about yourself. Because there's too many other people out there saying horrible things. And I'm not putting down the different institutions or brand name churches and all, but I've been in enough of them to realize that their message is not getting across to people. I know people that have been in, even my friend Doug the Baptist, you know, he's been in that, well, he's 74 now, so probably 73 years, he's been in the Baptist church, and he still doesn't get it. He still doesn't get it. He has no idea what his ego mind is doing to him. So what good does it do him to go to the church and so forth. See? So here again, let me reiterate that these are principles that we teach. They're principles of the mind. What you think about, you bring about. That this thing called the law of cause and effect is always in operation, and you can move up to the law of cause and effect. Most people are living in the law of averages. You must move up to the law of cause and effect. The law works whether you believe in it or not. God works whether you believe in it or not. You have to know that as a scientific fact, that there is something going on here and that I can join with it. I do not have to understand every part of it. You don't understand electricity and you use it all the time. Most people don't understand the computer, but they use it all the time. You do not have to understand every little facet of this. But you can still use it because it's always in operation. It does not say, oh, well, you don't believe in it, so I'm not working with you. You see, the law of cause and effect in this thing called God could care less. Could care less, it just keeps working. It just keeps working. So join with that. Look at your mind. See what it's doing. Learn to change your beliefs. Learn to change your opinions. Learn to change your viewpoints. And I love this, and I use it all the time with myself. Instead of having a viewpoint, I have many points to view. Many points to view, because it's a field of total possibilities out there. And if you only have a viewpoint, all you're going to see is that one possibility. And you want to be able to see all the possibilities. You see? You can do that. You can do that and you can change that. There's a wonderful expression. We are at play in the field of the Lord. Now, we use the word Lord in metaphysics. We change it to law. We are playing in the law of cause and effect. We are playing in that. So learn to use that. Know that what you think about, you bring about. That it is a mathematical equation, the same way as 1 plus 1 equals 2. 1 plus 1 will always equal 2 throughout the universe. There's not another mathematical thing to take place to make that come out to 3. There isn't. So, your mind is precise. Learn to use it. Learn to be clear in what you want. Many people say, I don't know what I want. It's quite all right to say you don't know what you want. But you know what you don't want. And the more you know what you don't want, the closer you get to what you want. The closer you get to what you want. So you have to see and hear what you're doing to your own self. You have to become that witness to your own thinking. Till you reach the point where you are able to think the thought that you want to think, instead of thinking random thoughts and making them very important. All your thoughts are screaming at you, pick me, pick me, pick me. You do not need to pick any of them. You can say, I don't like any of you, now get the hell out of here. And I'll pick the thought that I want to pick. That's how you do it, and that's how you control this little ego mind. But without knowing that you have an ego mind, or without knowing what it is doing to you, you'll be at a loss. You'll be at a loss, and your life will not function the way it is supposed to function. I always use the term, I want my life to be without the nits and fleas. I do not want nits and fleas in my life. I do not want turmoil of any type in my life. If it comes, it goes out very quickly. I don't want tragedy, I don't want drama, I don't want all the things that people think that they have to have in their life. You do not have to have them. There is no necessity for them whatsoever if you learn to think correctly. The ego mind always wants to make you a victim. Do not become a victim. You are not here to be a victim. You are here to be victorious. You are here to be victorious. The ego mind loves to get attention, and it gets attention in many, many different ways. One of the ways the ego mind loves to get attention is this idea of, I'm sicker than you are. You see? And you're around people, if you've been around people, oh no, you don't know my ailment worse than your ailment. You don't understand, you know. You're around people and they say, oh, this hurts, and that hurts, and oh, you just don't know all the things that are hurting. Now, I call that an organ recital. You see, they're just, what organ is on? I get up every morning and say to myself, my body is functioning absolutely perfectly. Every organ in my body is working the way it is supposed to work. And I also do tapping in the morning to wake up my body. Tapping means you just tap yourself. And you wake up everything. Come on. I'm up now. Let's get up. Lazy liver. Come on. Yeah, just tap yourself in the morning. And then you'll find a complete difference. It wakes up, it'll wake up your body. Okay? So that's what the ego mind, and I hope that you understand now a little bit more about the ego mind. Maybe you already knew all this stuff, maybe you didn't. But it's a very powerful thing, the ego mind, and most people are living in the ego and only in the ego, this thing. Not a pleasant way to go through life. It is a way to go through life. You can go through that way, but it's not a pleasant way to go through life. If you're trying to keep up with the Joneses and all, that's the ego mind doing that to you. And I was around a lot of people that always had to keep up with the Joneses. Oh my God, could drive you crazy, that kind of stuff. Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. Know that this thing called God is working in, as, and through you, and is doing a marvelous job. Is doing a marvelous job. You have to know that. And you have to know that the intelligence you're using is the intelligence of God. When you say to yourself, I don't know, I can say to myself, oh, I don't know, but I immediately say, I do not know, but I know you do, God, so you do the work. You do the work. And it works for me every time. Works for me every time. The ego mind wants to tell you that you're not intelligent enough to do something. You're using all the intelligence in the universe. You have to be intelligent enough to do that. Einstein said, I want to think God thoughts after it. All the rest are details. I want to think God thoughts after it. All the rest are details. All right, let me do my card. Oh, your unhappiness ultimately arises not from circumstances of your life, but from the conditioning of your mind. All unhappiness, all things are from the conditioning of your mind. So condition your mind the way you want it. Not the way the world wants it, not the way your education did, or not the way your parents did. Has nothing to do that with that. Live from your imagination, not from your history. Okay. What are the stories, the fictions, from which you derive your sense of self? What stories do you tell yourself, and what fictions are you living that derive your sense of self? People have to tell all the time. Things. There's a wonderful thing called woundology. Many people have it, especially alcoholics, have what we call woundology. That means they have to tell the story of how, what happened to them. Now, they may not have taken a drink in 20 years, but they immediately say, you know, I'm an alcoholic. And then they tell you a story about the alcoholic. So they have to go through the story to get to the now. Whose business is it if you were an alcoholic or you weren't an alcoholic? Who the hell wants to hear it anymore? You know, here's who I am today. Here's who I am today. But the ego mind, see, that's a story. And that bolsters the ego mind. Oh, I'm an alcoholic. I'm an overeater. I'm a this. I'm a that. You're none of those things. Give it up. Ego lives through comparison. The ego's identity depends on comparison and feeds on more. It always wants more. See, don't do that. Don't let your ego mind do that to you. Don't compare. It's an impossibility, and we've said this many times, or I've said this many times. You can never compare yourself with anybody. The reason why you can't do that is because there was never anyone like you before. There'll never be anyone like you again. Therefore, you're the rarest of the rare. So when you're the rarest of the rare, you cannot be compared to anything. But we like to compare ourselves to other human beings. You cannot do that. You know, we may be similar, but we're rare, and we're the rarest of the rare. Okay. Oh, here's the one I was looking for. Man cannot force the external to be what he is not. Man cannot force the external to be what he is not. You must be first yourself. You must be prosperity and abundance yourself. And then the external will change. But you're trying always to change the external. You cannot do that. You have to start with yourself. I've said this many times, life is an inside job. It starts with you on the inside of you. Okay? Guilt is another attempt by the ego to create an identity, a sense of self. Guilt. This is what I've done, and this is where I'm going. Oh, give it up. Give it up. Guilt is man-made. It's made in your mind. There's no such thing as guilt. You think animals feel guilty? They don't feel guilty about anything. I love to watch animals. Andy tonight said his dogs pester him. And they don't mind pestering. They don't feel bad. They don't feel ashamed for pestering. If they want out, they come and tell you. If they want food, they come and tell you. They're right to the point every time, and they don't feel guilty about that. We feel guilty. Oh, I have to wait. I don't want to disturb them. I'll feel guilty if I do that. Oh, please. Give that up, too. All right. In closing, this is a Buddhist saying. No self, no problem. What does that mean? If you don't have an ego, there's no problem. No self, no problem. Get rid of your ego to the extent that you can. Your ego brought you to where you are today. And you can thank it for that. And you can say to yourself, I also do thank you very much, ego. You've got me through all that. You got me through all those times. You did this for me. You did that for me. But now, I'm mature enough to run my own life and do it myself. Thank you very much. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.